council, and the time is 8:55. Okay, now, you want another question over that, or you want to have a different discussion?
As well, that
you might as well. Like,
we're here.
We're transparent. Let's do it.
I just would like a summary kind of update of where we're at with the
Matthews girls have a contract with Solberg's Associated Foods for that corner up there. They've signed it. That's, you know, they're waiting for things to happen. Now, there's also opportunity for further down on the other corner of something else going in there, and they're looking to expand that. And when those two things come into play, they're going to be required to widen Matthews Lane in front of there. And on Solberg's, they're going to be required to do Durfee Street along their property there. Now, there's going to be some things that we have to do as a city to make that a safe interchange. As far as Matthews Lane was 20 feet, 0.6 inches, which is the bare minimum for asphalt. For whatever reason, that's all they did. So we're going to have to expand off of those two corners, probably 4 feet, to give up some nice travel lanes there so we don't have any bad things happen. The Matthews have given 21 feet of a right-of-way. The road is 31 feet. Okay? And so that's going to give us enough room for a north lane, a south lane, a turn lane, and an acceleration-deceleration lane on the corners. But seeing there's not going to be anything in the middle right now, so we just have to widen out that road so we're not having too much of a congestion.
But we widen it out to the west. It will not affect Dick Johnson's land.
Correct.
Or Dustin Hall's.
Dustin has already given 22 feet. The only problem we have with that is that the city allowed Family Dollar to put their curb and gutter and swells and everything on our property.
Maybe we should.
Working on it. I cannot quite see your mind.
Okay. Selling alcohol now and making more money.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
I'm going to make the motion, so.
You know, you guys, it's one of those things where a little bit of a past sin's coming up, but we're not, until they decide to develop in between those two corners, there isn't a reason for us to make that road any wider, because it's just a lot of money, and they can't afford it, we can't afford it. So we are going to have to widen it out a little bit, but to keep it where we need to. And when they decide to sell to whoever it is they're doing this to, and they have agreed to keep commercial along Matthews Lane, that everybody that comes in there, we can make them expand it out to the width that we want. And if Dick Johnston's family, if Cody ever decides to sell that, it's 21 feet on his side.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all legal. So.
And so on the record, like, Transville City is not negatively inclined towards Solberg's. Just so that's, because I've heard all the rumors, and we are not fighting against Solberg's.
Yeah.
Like, no one on staff, no one planning and zoning.
I think when I was involved in kind of the presentation, that initial one with that developer, I think it was more so than just Solberg's being on that corner. It was more the density that they were trying to jam in to the center of all that. That was the big uproar. And so that was, I would say, 80%, 70% of the concern.
And that's not on the table anymore, right?
The Matthews girls sell it to a different developer, and it has to go through the process of being approved for whatever they do, whether it's houses or whether it's more commercial or, you know, any of those kind of things. I just know that we are losing a lot of our sales tax to Twilla because that Solberg's isn't big enough to deal with it. And this is going to be a big store with a lot
of good opportunities for us there, so we can keep maintain some of that sales tax into our community.
And I know when they presented, the SOAP group did an extensive search on Maine to find there just wasn't any property that was available of their size. So that's why they decided on Derby Street. It's basically the only land that they could fit.
We've seen our current store wiped out in an hour. At least I have.
Yeah.
So as we grow, I think we all support it, or we need it, I guess. But
this is a much larger store, and it's going to be more cost effective for utilities. Their coolers in that store run off of water, and they pump it in, pump it down into the deep water well, and that's how they cool things. And that they use a lot of water, and this will be able to save a ton for that.
Yeah. What about sidewalks? You said the road was going to be widened just in front of the Silbergs and the potential business on the other corner. So are we just going to have little bits of sidewalk there and then nothing in the middle?
We can apply to get a grant to finish it as wide as we want it.
Right.
Okay, and make the sidewalk as wide as we want to do that. And the way that works is there's a sidewalk, the right of way that they have is going to have a 5-foot sidewalk all along around Durfee and down to the end of their property. But I can't make Solberg put in anymore.
But I just would hate to see, like, on those two corners that we have this little chunk of sidewalk that goes to nothing.
Yeah. Well,
if that makes sense.
The roads and the sidewalk, we need to be looking for funding
to
do it all at once,
right?
Because that's silly
all
not
all
to.
Once, we're, hallelujah, we're in good shape.
Right, and that invites the businesses, to kind of meet there, join there together if that road is already.
Yeah, it would invite people to invest in our city.
Right.
This would be a great opportunity. I'm glad that they came back with this thing with the commercial along Matthews Lane. I think that was a good thing for them to do for us. And so.
Well, and I think when Solberg's comes in and that other business comes in, I think people will be trying to knock down the door to
build it around it.
Yeah. And build in front of it and around it.
So I mean, it's good education. I mean, nothing goes down in cost, right? And city employees need raises and need. So as a council, it's good knowledge to know without raising people's taxes, they don't really want to go there. All we can do to increase the budget each year, to increase income for our city. So it's good businesses, right? Business district.
At one point, Grantsville pretty much lived off of property taxes. Their sales tax was so small, okay? Thankfully, we have Amazon, and thank for everybody that does that.
I single-handedly keep Grantsville running through my Amazon orders.
And actually, we get more money out of sales tax than we do off property taxes right now, which is a complete opposite of what it was in the 80s. Okay, so if we have more businesses, we're going to generate more sales tax. Houses cost us money. You know, we got to maintain roads, we got to maintain their houses,
we have fire,
the whole thing. Houses cost money. Businesses make us money. And that's why it's important to get as many businesses as we can in our city. They were talking about moving Solberg's up on the corner, up in 112. Well, that would have been goofy, because people would just go to Twilla and finish stuff. But I think we're in a good place with it where it is. Is it my favorite? No. Favorite would have been down on the corner on Main Street. That's the best place for it, but I'm not going to make Kurt Matthews try to do something that would, mess with his parents. Because Al and Janet are two of the best people I know, so I'm not going to ever go there. planning and zoning, they were talking about, well, when they die, and the lady said, please don't say that. You know?
So what are the other, just so I'm clear, what are the other sources of income? Sales tax, you know, just property taxes, obviously the fees that we just reviewed.
Water, sewer,
you know,
those type of things.
There's a, what's it called, a third quarter tax or something like that?
Third quarter sales tax is a thing that the county has, and they have the right, we have a right as a part of the city and being part of COG to apply for third quarter sales tax. Last year we were awarded $350,000, which is going to pay for Nygreen, the sidewalk, that's in front of Craig Matthews, which is completed now, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That looks good.
Yeah. And yeah. Those things, and it'll, there's enough that we can cover some of our costs with that. So.
I had a concern that was brought to me, which is along Cork Street. So if you're at Pear Street and you're going south on Cork, there's the one small section that doesn't have a sidewalk or the trail. And the person was concerned with the safety, that people would walk down the asphalt trail along Cork Street, and then there isn't a safe place to walk to get to the next section of the sidewalk. Is there any type of a plan for that or a way to address that?
We need to. Jesse and I just talked about one thing today. I was hoping when they did that subdivision up there, whatever it's called, what's it called up there?
The Grantsville Estates.
Grantsville Estates, that they would have exited onto Cork Street.
That would have made so much more sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they didn't do it. I wasn't here. It's just part of the deal. But we do have enough room that there is a place that we can put a trail along where next to Gene Marshall's field, right now it's just a bunch of stinking weeds that don't buy us, so we're not maintaining. And we can put a trail to get them over to Pear Street, and all of those sidewalks would can connect there, and the kids trying to get to Willow would have a place to walk without going down Cork Street. Because right now that's...
And there is grants like Safe Routes to School. Mm-hmm. That's how we finished Durfee Street from Willow down to the Stake Center.
Right.
Those grants do take a little longer, so that was about a 3-year process to finally get that sidewalk in. So there are those grants available, but sometimes, and part of the length of that one was because COVID happened and all mm-hmm. of that stuff. But there are grants out there like that, and there are a lot of those kids in Grantsville Estates, the kids in my area, they do go to Willow now instead of to Grantsville Elementary.
Right.
That would be considered a safe route to school, and so there would be grants to help the school.
That we could look into for that. Mm-hmm. Now, the part that you're talking about by Gene Marshall's, though, that would mean that they would need to cross Cork Street.
Correct.
Then go there, then cross back over because the sidewalk is on the other side of the street again. Yeah. So it would require two crossings in order to, right? I'm just making sure I'm going the right direction.
The kids that go there could go up that to get on the Pear Street because there's a sidewalk on the south side of Pear Street, and they could get onto that and then scatter through that subdivision.
Yeah, but I think what Mike's talking about, so like there's some kids that live on Mountain Meadow near me, mm-hmm. and they get on the trail, and then they walk on the grass, and they go up to Pear.
Right, because those horse corrals that are there along Cork are, like, really close to the road.
Right.
Yeah, there's about a quarter of a mile stretch where there's
yeah.
no
yes.
there's no trail at all. Or just after Mountain Meadows, our sidewalk ends.
Right.
Yeah, and that was the safety concern that was brought to me.
Yes.
No.
As well, so we can try to finish that trail. We can either do it like a an asphalt thing, or try to get a concrete, whatever. But I think that would be a good move on our part as city officials to look at that. James can write these grants and look for them. You got to look for them all the time.
Yeah. Right. Another question then regarding grants. I know that there's several city employees who are applying for grants and obtaining a lot of money in grants. But would it be in our best interest to have a full-time grant writer that I just don't know how much we're pulling our city staff from doing other things that they need to do, writing grants. If there's that much money that's out there, would it be in our best interest?
We can contract somebody to do that.
And I'm not saying it's the best idea. I'm just saying...
I think, you know, anything we can do to reach out to get that money for those...
Yeah, so some of the rec grants for, like, the bleachers and stuff, mm-hmm. we essentially recycle those every year because we're trying to replace all of the bleachers
right.
and ADA compliant and so on. So some of those are pretty simple, especially with the rec grants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of recycle those. But there are other grants out, but I think that's something that we could look at. As far as having somebody on staff, that was their job, I don't know that we're quite big enough to be able to...
So just a contract... Somebody that we contract with to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if it's taking so much time away from staff to apply for grants, and maybe it's not that big a deal. I don't know how.
No, it is. It can be depending on the grant. I mean, especially, you know, like with the police grants. I mean, some of those, you know, Chief and Dahlia. Some of those things. I mean, they take months for them to write, just because there's.
So much to it.
They need this information and that information, and so there is a lot to
Well,
it.
I've been looking into park and outdoor grants, and I mean, there's so many of them that I would love to apply for, but I have to say, okay, do I have time to apply for all those, and would they be a huge return if we were to get them? Yes. Also, I don't feel like it's fair to say to James, you know, you need to spend all day writing grants for, I don't know, maybe it's fine. Maybe he's good with that and he's...
Oh, he is good. But we got... Twillis hired somebody to do just grants for Twillis. What was that guy's name?
Jared Stewart.
No. Oh, before Jared. Oh, the one that Mayor Wynn hates.
But they love Jared. He's economic development guy, and he does write grants all the time. He actually sends me information... Because I don't know if you can use this grant, you know, he'll send information out to everybody in the county, and he's great and is good about it.
And is he a full-time employee for Twillis?
He is.
And that's, as we grow, that would be a position that I would recommend considering next for Grantsville, having an economic person. Because he's the one, he goes and he says, hey, Carvana, come check us out. And he's actively pursuing different businesses and then also writing grants and things like that where we, I think, would benefit from a position like that. We don't have the budget for it right now.
Right.
But he would be good. And one of these times we find somebody that can step into that role and we feel like he can bring us enough money to
pay his
salary, that's great. The other guy, Twilla had, he was taking 10% of everything as a salary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you got a grant for $100,000, he got $10,000. For $1 million, there you go. He drove nice shiny sports cars around.
Who we mentioned for.
David Stewart.
I keep wanting to say Chris Stewart. I'm like, no, that's a different guy. David Stewart, like, he's someone that we have, is it contracted, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he's basically like a lobbyist, right?
Yeah.
And so he lobbies for Grantsville City.
For infrastructure?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like in the form of grants?
Yes. So yes. Like the Clark Street stormwater.
Okay.
He helped us get that. That was almost $1 million.
Okay.
He helped us with that. The one we got the year before was the $1 million that we're doing the West Street Collector with.
Mm-hmm.
He helped us get that one as well. So we've only used it in the last 2 years.
Yeah, because we... like, we kind of saw the need as far as, like, we're like, okay, we're just missing out on these grants, you know, because mm-hmm. it would be like, well, you were close, but you missed out on this for whatever
reason. In context, be like, there's a bill up on the hill right now. It doesn't really affect us because we don't have any gravel pits or any mining and stuff. But with the legislature being active right now, he contacts me and says, hey, you know, if you have any gravel pits or mining going on in your city, you want to look at this, because essentially what they're saying is if, I'll use Stakers as an example, if they have any land and they already are mining or have a gravel pit there, then they can go ahead and expand and they don't have to go to the city to do that. Where right now the legislation, they would have to come to us, let us know they're expanding, and we'd have to approve it, but they're just...
Which is what Morgan's gravel pit out west of town and Staker is in our city. Mm-hmm. Up on the side of the hill up there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so that's who we've got, and we've been doing it year by year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. He has a yearly contract with us.
Okay.
And so we pay him, and we did it the first year as kind of an experiment, because we're like, well, if we pay him and then we don't see a return, but then we got that $1 million.
Right, and he actually... Because, like, the year before we applied for a grant, we didn't get it, and it was over some minor technicality. He actually looked at that and said, well, if you guys would have done this, this, and this, you would have gotten that grant. And he's really helped us. And he really does work the people who are on those committees that give out those money.
He's got good connections.
He does have good connections.
Okay. Any other questions? Any more discussion?
Just it's a silly thing, but what are the other council members' thoughts on roundabouts in areas? I'm thinking about Solberg's, Durfee Street, you know, South Will Estates, both Cork and Will running down Durfee Street, various intersections. Just curious what. Individuals' thoughts are on, do we have a code that addresses roundabouts in this town? Constant flow intersections?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love roundabouts. I spent 2 years in England and they were everywhere. Mexico City uses them and they are huge, and it takes a lot of their traffic congestion things out of the way.
I spent 2 years in French country and they have them, and it works. You have.
How do they work with school crossings? So if you have an intersection that is also somewhere that you have a crossing guard, or it's a safe to school route, or whatever they call that, how does a roundabout work with that? I don't know.
Not in the roundabout.
Okay.
You'd have to move it down.
Yes. Oh, we have to move. Yeah.
So. I don't want to. Okay, I'm not putting down Grantsville drivers, but I do have concerns whether Grantsville can handle that.
We do have one up in Anderson Farms.
I was looking at it, looking at the diameter of it.
I'm like, four-way stops. I'm like, guys, this is not this hard.
Well, it's not four-way stops, it's the light. Really, and this is on the corner where I live. I'm envisioning Solberg's going on that far corner, quarter mile from where we're at, and you have a major intersection with a small road.
Yeah.
And
no, I like
what could we do to keep the traffic flowing not only to the commercial district, but also to the school, to the one of the main subdivisions mm-hmm. in the town. So
I never even really thought about it. But it's a good idea. We should look into it.
When we ever adopted a code for Grantsville on roundabouts and looked into that, and maybe that's something I need to do on my end with planning and zoning. And
we just have to teach people in Utah how to drive roundabouts.
Well, I think we can extend those.
Yeah, just maybe it's not just Grantsville. Maybe it's Utah in general.
Well, when it's not something that people are used to, then it's unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Well, The one in Overlake works fine. Yeah. It does. It took a little doing, but it works fine. That one's over the top though. because it's so wide in diameter and has that, you know, that flower bed and everything. But there's no need for all that.
We use them. I'm in Draper almost every day, and
they're all over.
There are a couple there, and I think they're amazing.
Well, one thing I think it would do is a lot of times, the times when you have a lot of traffic on those corners are just certain hours of the day, and we just keep adding four-way stops throughout town, and that means you stop and nobody's at the other three stop signs, but you stop every time you go. So this would keep, the roundabout would keep the traffic moving when there is no need to slow down.
Well, the four-way stops that have been put in are to slow people down.
Yeah.
It's a constant flow intersection. And the roundabout does slow down the traffic because you naturally have to navigate the turn and the yield and everything else that's involved with that. So it naturally does that.
Astoria, Oregon has a huge roundabout. It's great.
Oh, just something I wanted to just put in everyone's mind. I think we should adopt a code.
Let's look at it. Can you look at Draper's and see what they got?
That'd be great.
I'm going to get out there taking pictures tomorrow.
I make a motion that we adjourn our meeting.
A motion is your second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
You get a chance tomorrow, would you?